It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. It's country with a twist and grilling with a twist of this and that, too, man. Hey, I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is unavailable this week. And joining me in the studio is the one and only Tim Sobey of Sobey Meats. Tim, thanks for making time, man.
Yeah, appreciate being here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always a great show when you're here because protein is the center of my grill everywhere I go. And it's not just all the meats and fishes and poultry and all the other stuff that you carry. It's the well-rounded grocery store that we've got. And we're going to try some things and talk about some things throughout the show. But before we get to that, I just wanted to, last week, Barbecue Bob had a bunch of food trucks in. And if you listen to that show, yucked it up. Bob was eating so much that Conrad had to sit in and start talking about the show.
He go in a red meat coma, did he?
Yeah. I don't know what they were grilling, but I saw pizzas and burgers and all kinds of stuff. So he probably walked out of here 10 pounds heavier. I, on the other hand, was in Mexico. And Mexico is an interesting place. I'd not vacationed down there. We flew into Cancun. I'll give you we took a charter, one of those Apple vacation things, out of Lansing. Well, it's an hour and a half late because we had to de-ice twice, right? We get in the air. It's a direct flight. Really cool. But when you get down there, only the major airlines get jetways. You get dumped on the tarmac.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And you're left, 17 degrees. You get down there, it's 87. And you're kind of dressed for 17, not 87, right? And so we stood on the tarmac about 15 minutes waiting for a bus. Got all steamy and hot. Rode a bus to the terminal.
Sweating like you're heading to the confessional.
Right. Exactly. And blah, 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 2 hours later after, customs and luggage and all that other stuff, we get on the road and we got another hour south down to Riviera Maya to the resort. I'm not complaining, but it was just a long day of travel, right? But going down there, this one caught me way off guard. We're in a van. We're all going to the same place. My van driver pulls into the left lane. It's a two-lane road. We're not in rough country. This is a major four-lane highway. He pulls in the left and passes the federales. Okay, there's two guys in the cab of a truck, all body armored up. There's four guys sitting in the back of the truck, two of them back to back, right, with machine guns across their lap. But the one that got me, there was a fifth guy standing right over the cab with a machine gun that had about 30 bullets hanging off it on one of those spring auto feeder things. And they were driving right down the road doing 60 miles an hour. And this guy on that was like on a turret standing there with his hands on those. I'm like, where in heck am
I? You thought you were in Saigon.
Right, man. And we saw two of those. But it was weird. It was in like a stretch between Cancun and Riviera Maya where we were going. And I don't know if there's stuff going on there or what. We were never threatened. I mean, I was fine, but it just caught me way off guard.
Sure.
I'm like, I don't know if I want to
be
down there.
It's not something you see every day, is it?
No, no, they're not doing that in Byron Center.
Yeah, don't see it in the UP with Toivo, no.
Right, yeah.
He's got one of those.
Up there, it'd be a deer rifle.
Yeah, opening day of deer camp.
Yeah.
Trolling for deer with a cabbage on a rope.
Yeah, so anyway, we were at this all-inclusive joint, and very nice, but they had outdoor grills every day. That was the lunch. There was a series of pools, and they'd set up an outdoor grill every day and grill something. And I had some wonderful fresh red snapper fish, that was. And they had caught it that morning, right? And then this brought it in from the beach and cooked that for us. It was fantastic. But the thing that I saw that was really interesting is picture yourself with a big aluminum stock pot, one that's like 12 inches across and maybe 12 inches deep. They set those on edge and they put a metal strap and welded three of them top to bottom, right? So they're stacked vertically in a row. And then they did another one of those. So there's six of them and they mounted them on this rack. They put a can of Sterno, so it's tipped toward you. So you're looking at the open end. They put a can of Sterno in the bottom of each one and then took some kind of smoking wood, whatever they've got down there, and they cut it in perfect length so it fit inside that stock pot. And then lit that Sterno and created heat and smoke that was, reflecting off the back of that pot and coming out. And in front of there was rotisseries in front of them. And so there was three layers of rotisserie, and you know how the gauchos make the steak on the rotisserie, and it you know what? There were three little Mexican, well, one guy running three skewers, and he would just turn them about every 30 seconds. He'd go up and down and up and down, and they cooked this way, and I ate it for lunch, and it was some sort of strip steak or something.
Yeah,
it was very good. I mean, it had Mexican seasonings, a little bit spicy.
Sure.
I didn't dive into the profile. I just had another cerveza, and everything was good, right? But interesting how the ingenuity down there as a grilling guy. I got pictures of it. I was very interested in it, and it worked.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, what is this contraption, you know, when I'm walking up there to lunch? But anyway, so kind of cool. Mexico is a unique place. Would I go again? Sure. But I'd do a few things different, you know, just what I know now and what I didn't know then. But
sure.
Hey, it was good. It was my honeymoon, you know, a year and a half delayed because of our friends at COVID, right? So anyway, but yeah, it's good to be back. Brought a little tan and 10 extra pounds, but we're losing both of those right now. So it's all good.
You're walking kind of funny after getting back from your honeymoon.
Right. Yeah, there's a few less oysters down there than there was when I got there, right? Yeah.
You can't say that.
Yeah, I think I just did. But anyway, so Tim, what's going on at Sobey Meats, man? How's everything over there?
We're hanging in there. You know, some of these shortages is the one of the biggest obstacles to get through. And there's plenty of animals, you know, chickens, pigs, steers. It's just not enough manpower to get them all slaughtered. So
really,
that seems to be the ongoing problem. We just had a meeting here, Michigan Meat Association,
right?
And one of our couple of the guys on the board also do slaughter, and they're already slaughtering. If you had a steer to get in, they're booking for March of 2023. So they're solid over a year out to get your steer slaughtered. So
now it's a full-blown cow. I mean, you put another year on that thing. That thing's got another 100 pounds, 150 pounds on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're young, aren't they? Usually like 16, 18 months when they normally process them.
Yep.
Yeah, but you put another year on there, that's a lot of feed, that's a lot of everything.
Sure,
yeah.
So that seems to be the biggest challenge right now is just getting the animals through the system.
Wow.
And then like anything else, manpower is the number one thing. Nobody can talk about it. You know, as I say, get off your rump roast and get back to work. You know,
right.
If you're healthy enough to be working, get a job. There's plenty of them out there.
Yeah. So I would think that in that industry, COVID never really slowed that down.
Yes, it did.
It did?
Yes.
Okay.
And one of the things, you know, with Hispanics, for an example, you might have several families living under one house, right? So now, you got COVID. Who are you around? Well, I was around all these people. We all live together. We all work together. So there are plants that literally were shut down for 2 weeks because so many people tested positive. So I'm not saying that, you know, nationality.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. And so here again, you know, and even the big producers, you know, if you're shut down for a week, I don't care if you're a donut shop or you're General Motors, you shut down for a week or 2 weeks, that's going to hurt. You're going to feel the effects of that.
Right, and it's a ripple. It doesn't just turn back on and get there because the supply chain choked up at some point. Yeah, that's interesting. But the demand, I mean, are you see at the store, are you still seeing the more people eating in than out, in your estimation?
Yeah. As you know, more and more restaurants close up, you know, people have been eating at home for a long time now,
right?
And it's getting to be okay. We're familiar with that. Now we got a plan to shop and buy and cook, and we're eating at home. So it's going to take us a while till we get everything back chugging.
Yeah, I mean, there's no substitute for being waited on and, you know, taken care of. I just came back from that for a week, but the other side of that is I enjoy cooking my own food.
Yeah.
Too, obviously, we're the grilling guys. That's what we do. But it's just a real interesting paradox out there of people still have to eat, and most of the time they eat at home, but the supplies aren't there.
Sure.
Right?
And we're going to be taking a break here. When we come back, I have a tip for everybody to help you save big money on your food bill.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to do that. But so coming up next, Tim and I are going to talk a big old dollar saving tip. And then also want to talk a little bit about that meat association meeting that we had, because I think there's some insight there to what the future looks like for us all. And I don't know about you, but I put protein on the center of my plate every day.
If it walks, flies, or swim, we're going to kill it and grill it.
All right. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys. Appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob, he's gone, and Tim Sobey's sitting in the studio with me. Tim, we were just talking in the last segment and a little bit during the break about you sit on the board of the Michigan
Michigan Meat Association.
Okay. Now, are those are all levels in the supply chain? I mean, you're a retailer and a butcher, but you said there are also producers in there as well.
Yep. There's some of the guys on there have a slaughter facility. So it could be just a retail operation. It could be a federally run operation. But we're all meatheads in the industry that our livelihood comes from meat.
Right. Yep. And so you just came from a board meeting yesterday, right? Which is interesting. What are the challenges that the industry is seeing? We talked a little bit in the last segment about help. Yep. I mean, that's probably almost the number one issue, but what are some of the others?
Yeah. So the help, and that's one. With this industry, along with the help that isn't there to slaughter the animals, there aren't any meat trade schools. So it's not like, okay, they want everybody to get a college degree, but there's no college to go to learn how to cut meat. There's no trade schools, so it's all OJT. So kids don't get exposed to that in high school, so let alone they're not looking to do that once they get out of high school. So we have kind of a drought of even potential workers getting in the meat industry.
Interesting.
Because they don't know what they want to do, for example. But at least if you're exposed to auto mechanics, there's another one. So we don't have kids that are exposed to it in high school. There's a drought all the way through the system.
So. And I would think that, one of the challenges of I wasn't given an option to go to college or not. You're going, right? I was the fifth of five boys. That was what my parents did. That was the rule that was in our house. And I was very blessed. I had some scholarships, played a little sports, so I came out of college with no debt. Conversely, there are many, many kids that come out with six figures of debt because they had to finance their education. And back when I did it, it might have been $30,000 for the whole dang thing for 4 years, and it's that much a year now, right? So this is big money, and families just, you don't have $30,000 extra dollars sitting around.
Sure.
So you got to borrow money. But many industries that you're speaking of don't have apprenticeship programs, don't have technical schools, and they rely on either a community college. I know that your daughter went through the culinary school, right, here in Grand Rapids, but that didn't teach her to cut meat,
right?
I mean, it was an overall kind of a industry education, and I'm sure she specialized in something. But so your shop, for example, this is an interesting conversation for me because where do you go? I mean, you got to have meat cutters. Meat shows up in your shop, and you need meat cutters to make it presentable so I can buy it by the pound.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, I don't need your secrets, but how do you do that? I mean, where are you finding people, and what can you do to entice them?
Well, fortunately for us, we have had either experienced guys that we hired in, or one of my guys, he literally, as we say, almost came with the store, Dave. You know
right,
Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's been with us like a week after we opened up. So he was one taught and trained him to be a meat cutter.
Right.
We've had a couple other ones through the years that you know, started up with no experience, and here's a hunk of clay, and you mold them into being a meat cutter.
Yeah.
So, right. The other guys we have are seasoned professionals that have been in the industry for decades, and
right.
we're happy to have them.
Well, sure you are. I mean, that's awesome, and that's a testament to you and Teresa and the business you run to attract those guys. What about the next generation? I mean, I know Dave, and I know some of the other guys, and they're no pun intended, but they're not spring chickens.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, you're going to need that 20-something-year-old guy to step in there. And it's I think there's a lot of benefit to learning that skill.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can use the rest of your life. And it's a good job.
Absolutely. Right? And even if, as we say, that's not your lifelong career, you're doing this for a while, and then you want to be whatever that is.
Right.
You want to have your own flower shop. Well, at least, you know, learn how to do some basics of meat cutting. Well, you go deer hunting, you can process your own deer. You can fillet your own fish.
Right.
You know, you can get your own game birds, whatever that is.
Yeah, yep.
So their skills still helps you out. You're over the grill. I know what this cut is. I know how to trim it, which right. direction to slice the meat. So there's benefits that come out of there, even if you're not a seasoned professional. You always learn something from somebody, right?
Right, right. Yep. And so having said that, what are the top two or three types of protein that come out of Sobey Meats on a regular basis that you see like, boy, people really enjoy this cut? I mean, I want to talk about ground meats too, but I guess I'm talking about, you know, steaked type meats at this point.
I would have to say probably one of our number one beef cuts is the Sobey Sizzler.
Okay.
And that's a specific muscle that we pull that from. It's a teres major, and it's in an oddball spot. It's in the front shoulder, which you associate that with a pot roast, right?
Chuck roast, yep.
You know,
yep.
a chewier, tougher piece right. of meat. But this one individual muscle, where it lays in there, is extremely tender, and it's like 100% usable. So there's when the customer gets it, it's all trimmed up. There's nothing to trim off and throw away.
Right.
They're lean, they're flavorful, they're tender. We just sell a metric crap ton of them.
Right, yeah.
And ribeye still is way up there.
Nice. And then that's one of my favorites.
And tri-tip is probably another one that's really gained a lot of popularity.
So let's ribeye's nothing better than a hot grill cooked medium rare. The steak just screams volumes of quality.
Yeah.
When you have one of those, that my favorite cut. But this tri-tip, let's talk a little bit about that, because I'm not sure that a lot of people, one, have tried it, maybe. I mean, a lot of your customers have, I'm sure, but people that are listening have tried it, nor would they know how to prepare it. So maybe you could take us down that list of what is a tri-tip, what do I have to do to it to make it really good when I want to cook it?
Okay. So it's part of the sirloin in a tri-tip, and it has a triangular shape to it.
Okay.
And by the time they're done, again, that's another cut. They're pretty much 100% usable when the consumer gets it. A lot of times we've done this in deer camp where, you know, you just come in from the hunt, you got to grab a cocktail, catching up with the biggest lie of the day that happened.
Right.
So either A, deer camp, we'll do them in the oven so we're not grilling outside and getting those smells in the air.
Right.
So I have a huge proponent of using a digital thermometer.
Oh,
so
every
time.
So put
it in, you know, a 250 oven and cook it like a prime rib, low and slow. But they only take maybe a half an hour-ish, 45 minutes to cook the whole thing.
Okay.
Get it to a nice medium rare, and then we'll slice off from there. And the pieces maybe about half the size of the palm of your hand when you slice them.
Okay.
But the other thing is phenomenal. I mean, they're lean. They're
so it's
flavorful.
Like a little medallion almost that you're taking off of there, right?
Yep. And then the garlic bread, the garlic toast.
Oh, yeah.
Butter on both sides. That with some garlic cheddar on top. Little beef sammies, you know, that we'll
Ooh.
Do. And I'm telling you, you're living large.
Yeah, you are. Wow.
So you can grill the whole thing at once. You can cut it into some individual sizzlers in hot and fast on a grill. So another great cut.
Yeah, really good cut. And you said pretty lean.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, they're marbled very, very nice.
Oh, okay.
But they don't have the cover fat on them.
Right.
That's been trimmed off.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Well, all right. Well, coming up next, I want to pursue that a little bit further because I want to get into other animals away from the cow and some of the stuff that is really cool there In the shop, and then maybe some ground meat as well, because I think it's grossly overlooked, but the way you season that stuff's amazing.
Don't say gross and meat in the same sentence.
That's right. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on Jethro FM and the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob out today, and Tim Sobey's joining me. We've been talking a lot about the meat business and what's going on inside of Sobey's. So we just covered the beef. Let's talk a little bit about chicken, because I'm hearing things that there's a shortage of that as well. Does that part of your meat board, do you guys talk about poultry too? Or are you
Yep.
So it's any protein, if you will, right?
Yes, yep, absolutely. And again, when you get some of the blips, not enough of this or that, again, it, not to sound like a broken record, but it's the truth of the matter, manpower. They don't have enough people. There's plenty of chickens waiting in line to go in there and take a nap, and not enough people to get them all processed. Then, at that point, for an example, they started doing boneless, skinless thighs. And I know, you know, you guys have done that many, many times.
Right.
That is, to me, one of the best diamond in the rough things to do. Dark
no
meat
question.
Has more flavor than white meat anyway. And the way they're almost, I'll say, filleted out, it's a flatter cut that they grill or smoke way, way quicker. And they have more flavor than the breast anyways.
Right.
And that was one of those for a while. They didn't have the manpower to, you know, bone those thighs and skin them and fillet them out. So it was an item that you couldn't get. So different things like that. You don't have enough people. We have X amount of chickens to kill every day. We can't do all the specialty things with it. Let's get them moving, keep them moving, get them in a box, and
so they
get them
were
to the
fryers.
Store.
They showed up as fryers or maybe quartered out or something like
or
that.
Or then maybe just a bone-in, skin-on thigh, which there's nothing wrong with a bone-in, skin-on thigh. Real quick tip, try this sometime. Wings are so doggone expensive. I mean, wings, our cost is more expensive than boneless, skinless breast.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy, yeah.
That's a supply-demand type thing, right?
So we've talked about this on shows before. Instead of using like that drumette of the wing, that large section, try doing drumsticks because there's more flavor, and you can still do what you love to do with a wing. It is a buffalo wing, or you do it deep-fried, or whatever you do for your wings, try that with drumsticks. The other thing is try a bone-in, skin-on thigh. Because here again, skin, fats, flavor.
Right.
And you're keeping that meat moister anyway, and you have one bone to get that meat off from.
Right.
So they're a great munchy kind of a meat when you're around poolside or grill side or whatever.
Yeah, watching a game or doing whatever, Olympics, whatever whatever you were doing these last couple of weeks. That's awesome because the it's much more flavorful. I know when when I'm catering, you know, people will say, well, hey, I'd really like some skinless, boneless chicken breasts, you know, for my guests in addition to the pork and beef and everything else we do. And I always talk them into thighs. And they're like, I don't know. You know, that skinless, boneless breast is where I want to be. And I'm like, I'll cook you one and I'll bring it over and you tell me which one you want and then I'll go home and make the rest of them for you, and it's always thighs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I ruin the breast. It's just that they're so much more flavorful and they hold. They hold much better in a chafing dish. If I've got, you know, 60 of those things that I've cooked and they're going to walk through that line in an hour.
Yep.
Open houses, whatever that may be. Those thighs are still juicy and flavorful, where the breast meat gets dried out when it sits in that chafing dish. And so I always use skinless, boneless thighs. And, you know, I'd go as far, and I know because it's labor intensive, but if I had to buy bone in, skin on, I'd buy those and bone them out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if I was doing that for a party, for myself, I'd just cook them with the bone in.
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing.
And biggest tip I would have for anybody that you still want to do that breast meat. Nothing wrong with the breast meat.
No, nothing.
And the biggest tip I would have is, we know you want to cook your poultry to 165. If it's on the bone, I always go higher than that. But if it's that boneless, skinless breast, I'll always pull them at 160.
Right.
Because they're going to continue to cook another 5 degrees. So now the eating temp is 165.
Right.
But they're going to be juicier at 165 than leaving them in there. You think, oh, they're juicy. They're not done yet.
Right.
And then you cook them till you have a popcorn fart on a plate.
Yeah,
you know?
Which is no good.
Yeah.
And we've all done that, unfortunately. We've all done that. So you're not having any challenges getting chicken, or are you?
We had a couple here a few weeks back. Things have kind of simmered down or leveled out, so to speak, if that's the way to say it. And fortunately for some of us smaller markets, we've done better at having product in the case than the big box stores.
Different supplier groups? Or?
Yeah, I'm sure different supplier groups. And then they're obviously, I'm going to pick one, let's say it's a Meijer's. So Meijer's, you know, you're looking at getting semi-loads of chicken. We're looking at getting, you know, 40 cases.
Right.
So it'll be easier for us to find 40 cases than them. So you ordered a semi-load, and we got 3/4 of a semi-load.
Right.
So, you know, you got to split that out between your stores.
Sure.
So sometimes bigger can be a hindrance.
Yeah.
You know, you have better buying power, but then it can bite you the other way, too. So,
well, and you've got,
there's challenges.
You've got specialty meats, too, that, you know, I've eaten those big chickens that you've had before.
Or the roasters.
Yeah, right. Ooh, they're so good.
Oh, man.
They're so good. And, you know, you just can't find that in the bigger stores. You just can't. I mean, and you know, I'm a huge proponent of your shop and what you guys do there. What about the offbeat meats, what I'm going to say is like lamb or something like that? Has COVID impacted that as well?
Oh, yeah.
Everything, huh?
Yeah, everything. Lamb, actually, I was just looking today as we're starting to look ahead for Easter time.
Sure.
Lamb prices are always the most expensive at Easter, biggest time of the year anyway. But domestic lamb, which actually tastes a lot more like beef.
Right. It's better, in my mind, than the New Zealand stuff.
Yeah.
No question.
That tastes like
something that
the butt end of the animal.
Right,
It's gamey. And,
right.
Nonetheless, prices already... Our cost already for like lamb chops and that, the racks of lamb are in the mid 20s a pound.
Wow.
And that's our cost. That's before we even put a knife to it.
Right.
So things are pretty crazy, you know, priced right now.
Ham's the veal. Same way? Veal, yeah.
Veal's another one, yeah. Hams, you know, that seems to be kind of a steady market, all in all things on the pig. Another great cut to use from the pig, though, is do pork tenderloin. And I'll cook those maybe just to 145.
Okay. Now, that's the one that's about the size of a tennis ball, not the one that's the size of a softball.
Correct.
Right?
It's
the small, the tenderloin,
not the loin,
but the tenderloin. Yep. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And those tenderloins, and actually for Teresa and I, we'll do a stuffed one. And that's just about enough, maybe a little bit more than I should eat.
Yeah.
But we'll kind of split one of those up for a meal. And so that, and we have some vegetables to go along with it. And
right.
That's a meal.
What are you stuffing it with?
Well, stuffing.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah.
That's our, what are you stuffing with? Stuffing.
Yeah.
We have a homemade stuffing that we put in there. So bread stuffing with love. And then that we add apples in there. So
apples. The fruit is always good with pork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always good with
good
pork.
Good marriage.
Yep. And then you just season it up with some
Tim's blend.
Right. And that stuff works on everything.
Yeah.
Yep. I made fish last night. Where again, we really are trying to lose a little weight because we put on a bunch when we were on vacation. And I made, you know, the frozen little tilapias or whatever they are, but I used Tim's blend on it last night, and they were edible.
Nice.
Because of that, right? It's not my favorite, but, you know, whatever. You're trying to eat light, eat some broccoli and that. And,
sure.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, so we've got some, you brought, there's more to Sobey Meats than meat. And we're going to cover that in the next segment because I'm looking at some, is that honey mustard dip?
Yeah, Brad's world famous mustard dip.
Okay,
yep.
Is Brad part of your team?
No.
Okay.
Brad, we'll tell you where Brad comes from next segment.
Okay.
And then obviously you know the jerky dip.
Right. Oh, yeah. I've eaten pounds and pounds and pounds of that and won't stop. It's super good. It's beef jerky with cream cheese. Are you having problems finding cream cheese? I heard that's another one of those.
That we've been lucky.
You buy a bunch of it.
We buy a bunch at a time, yeah, so we don't run out.
Yep. And then this one is a beer cheese.
Yep.
Yeah, what's wrong with beer and cheese, right? Nothing.
Yeah, the best part of the beer cheese is the beer, right?
Right, yeah. And by the way, Sobey Meats does sell beer. And it's my favorite place to go get my six-pack of Tall Boy Old Style.
Nice.
Right, yeah. That's how I roll these days.
Don't tell everybody. They'll buy them out.
Right, yeah. Well, all right, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're not done yet. We got one more. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. As we said, if you're just tuning in, Barbecue Bob is out today. And Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats has been having a wonderful conversation with Tim. It's always so informative when we get a chance to sit down and talk. And just learn about the what's going on in our world as it relates to our food chain. So Tim, we were talking about variety of meats. Where's pork? I mean, that's the quintessential barbecue meat, right? What's the status of pork? We haven't touched that one yet.
Yeah, we have plenty of pigs. You know, there's a lot to go around. When you get into the barbecue and part, it's either the butts or the ribs.
Right.
Are the two go-to meats on pig. And then don't forget to put bacon on top of it. Right,
right, right. Right. But you're not having the supply challenges that you are with the other meats, or are you?
No, we've been in very good shape with pork. So there were a few hiccups again, you know, let's say year-ish ago, or 2 years ago even, things were hit a lot harder. So we are slowly starting to get back a little more stability with that food chain. So that's good. We just need to keep the Chinese hands out of everything. Is any opportunity you have to support a local farmer, a local market, please, please, please do that. Because right now the pork industry is a hair breadth away from the Chinese controlling, having a monopoly in the market. So
really,
if you go buy a pig farm, man, beep your horn, give him a thumbs up, and might not smell the best, but you know, got some damn good meat coming off it, right?
Yeah, right, and it's local, but, and you're feeding the family.
Yeah, yeah, we need to support local, local, local.
Well, speaking of other things in local, you've got a bunch of dips and sauces and things in there that are away from that 75-foot meat case.
Yep.
And around the corner. What are the top two or three that I think I know what mine are, but I'm just curious what blows out of there the fastest.
So one, as you mentioned already, we got here in the studio today, is Brad's famous mustard dip.
Right.
And I'm a guy, I like to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely.
So a quick story, 3 years back, it was before Christmas, and Brad dropped off a little jar of this mustard dip. He says, try it. So went home getting, you know, making dinner that night and got a cold one and had some pretzels and I started eating that dip. I'm like, holy crap balls, is this good, right?
Right, right.
So I said to Teresa, try some. No, 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 I don't want any. Well, I got about half of that jar gone and I finally had her try it. We cleaned that jar out that night. So Brad came back in and I was telling him how good it was. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll give you the recipe if you just do me a favor and call it Brad's Famous Mustard Dip. So Brad Van Manen, we've all heard of Van Manen Oil.
Right.
And close one to us is in Standale.
Right.
Got to get rec fuel there for all the toys and everything. Yep. So Brad Van Manen, that's his recipe that he so graciously shared with us.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely fantastic. You got to be selling that stuff by the vat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big one. It's that good. And then what else?
And the beer cheese, this is another hot item. The jerky dip is a good mainstay. The quinqueso is another one. I know that's Teresa's favorite. And so those are a handful of the top sellers.
Right, right. So the jerky dip, we didn't talk about the smoked end of your meat counter because there's jerkies and meat sticks and other sausages that are cooked down there in addition to the raw ones that are there. I would imagine you go through a pound or two of kielbasa every week, don't you?
Sure do. We have the Parkside recipe and the Sobey recipe.
Right.
And as you know, I don't have any feelings left to hurt.
Right.
We sell more of the Parkside, and I don't care.
Right.
Because it's a tried, tested, and true recipe. Been around Grand Rapids for probably almost 75 years now. And we had entered it before in the kielbasa idol.
Right.
We did good. Had a couple guys that also had worked for us and had the recipe. They're at Campbell Corner, and they run it. They did well, entered it. So people in Grand Rapids love that recipe.
Yep.
I can't take credit for it, but that's fine. It's a way to honor people that were before us right?
Absolutely. But you're making it.
Yeah.
You can't get it anywhere else but those two places.
Recipe.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same recipe.
Uh-huh. It's fabulous. I tell you, I take that stuff and I uncase it. You put it around a hard-boiled egg, okay? Just flatten out a patty of that kielbasa, that Parkside kielbasa. Lay that hard-boiled egg in there. Wrap it around. Make it like a baseball size. Put that on the smoker for an hour, just enough to get that sausage done. I'm telling you, that is the best beer drinking snack that you'll ever have, and it's super easy. But you got to go to Sobey's and get the Parkside kielbasa. Good old Bob Evans, love him, but it ain't the same, man.
It's
just not the same. And I bring those to deer camps and fishing camps everywhere I go, and the people that have never, you know, the people that have had them are like, sweet, he's back with the with the eggs. But the people that haven't had them, they're like, what
is this?
Yeah, this is amazing. I know, I can't take credit. Let me tell you the ingredients are in, but I can tell you where to go get that meat, man. It's amazing.
Instead of a shell on a chicken, it's a pig wrapped around a chicken, right?
That's exactly.
And then we got ground beef wrapped around that, right?
Right, yeah, right. Yep, and weave a little bacon on it, and boy, you just don't even know how good that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. But so, you know, you're into salads too. I mean, tell everybody where the store is. If you don't know, you know, pardon me for not asking earlier.
Yeah, it's 3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
Okay.
And Remembrance Road kind of branches off from Leonard Street.
Right.
And we're just a quarter mile up the road. So if you know where...
On the left-hand side.
On the left-hand side, yeah. So the Walker Ice and Fitness and Walker City Hall and all that, we're about a mile east of there.
Right. And somebody said there's a brewery in your area now, too. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, Kitty Corner across the street. Yeah, okay. Lost Art Brewery.
All right.
They're doing an excellent job. And the locals, I mean, are really keeping them busy. When you couldn't go inside to eat, they've had a couple food trucks in their parking lot.
Nice.
So you can go out there, grab something, and bring it in, sit down, and have a beer. They have some really good tasting beers in there. They're doing just a great job.
Yeah, speaking of local, I brought in some snacks. I got a guy I work with. I don't have a dog in this race, but he's got a little snack company called Fry Daddy's over out of Fruitport. And he's got it's Chex Mix on steroids. It's got pecans and cashews and hazelnuts and almonds and three or four other types of pretzels and things in there in addition to the Chex Mix. They're really, really good. So I brought some for you to try. I'll be interested to see how your defined palate and Teresa's and everybody else you share it with go. But I told him I'd do that, and we'll have you report back. So that's good.
Maybe if we go into overtime with the show, maybe we should report back in a few minutes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We certainly could do that. But anyway, so, Tim, is this brat weather? Are people buying brats this time of year?
Oh, I can't believe how many brats we sell all year long. And there are those hardcore grillers that it doesn't matter if it's, you know, we got that storm coming through, I'm grilling tonight.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we still keep a very, I think, a very good selection of brats in the case all the time.
Yeah. At one time I had a list of your brats. I probably still do. There was like 25 or 30 different flavors throughout the year. I mean, you don't have them all in the meat case every time, but it's some of them are seasonal or whatever, depending on the ingredient. But what are the two or three that just like are tried and true, always there?
Our regular brat is still the number one seller, cheddar brat. But then some of the other ones that are good, they're a little bit on the different side, are bacon, onion, cheddar. We have one with Berlin Raceway, so in Perrin Brewing, so it's a Berlin Perrin brat that we have is
so real there's
popular.
Actually beer in the brat.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. The cheese that's in a brat, is it a different kind of cheese that doesn't? It's a higher temperature cheese or not so much?
Yep. That's exactly what it is. They call it high temp cheese. It's real cheese, not artificial. Years back, we had a blip and we ended up using artificial. One guy, it's a lot cheaper and it's garbage.
Yeah.
To say it ever so nicely, so. One mistake, one and done. So it's real cheese, and it's designed to melt at a higher temperature. So if you have that cheese in a sausage, it won't just cream out.
Right.
And so it stays when you bite into it. You look at it, and you can see the cheese in there.
Yeah.
We use that in our meat sticks and German wieners.
Yeah.
I
love those. Yeah, we were talking a little bit in a couple weeks here. I've got a cook for the Boy Scouts out on the lake. They go out for a winter badge, and I always bring them lunch. We're gonna bring them some dogs, but they're gonna love the dogs, the German dogs from Sobey Meats. These guys are gonna be doing backflips on the ice out there, man. Yeah, it's all really good. So, but anyway, thanks, man, for coming in on short notice. Like I said, Barbecue Bob couldn't make it today, so I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge, your insight, and all that you do at Sobey Meats. You can buy beer there, guys. You can buy wine there.
Yeah.
You can buy really good homemade bread there. And it isn't just a meat market. This is a place that if you've not been to Sobey Meats, I'm telling you, you have to go. You will not be disappointed. I'm not paid to say that. I say that from the bottom of my heart. This is a wonderful, wonderful place, and you all need to give it a try. And if you haven't, you've been missing out. Get over there. Where's it at again, Tim?
3450 Remembrance Road, and Glad Grilling Guys are right here on Jethro FM.
Yeah,
this
so
is where you belong.
All right. Take care, and we'll talk with you next week.